Good morning. You're tuned into Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. My name is Brooke Schaefer, and I'm delighted to have in the studio with me this morning my guests for the morning interview. With me, I have Kari Poston, the Sitka Sound Science Education Coordinator, Haley Yang, a researcher from UC Cruz, as well as Nikki Schreather, a researcher also from UC Santa Cruz. Thank you all for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
us. Happy to be here.
Great to have you here and to talk about science, the Science Center, and science happening in our very oceans. I wanted to ask you all, what has Nikki and Haley, what has led you to be in Sitka? What's the work that you're doing here?
Yeah, so we're up here to study the kelp forests in Sitka. And the kelp forests generally are really special ecosystems, but are particularly interesting up here in Sitka because they represent the northernmost range of giant kelp, which is one of our really big canopy-forming kelp species all along the Pacific West Coast. It's also this high-latitude ecosystem up here that is more prone to ocean warming and ocean acidification. So it's a really interesting ecosystem to study for a bunch of different scientific angles.
Yeah, our group comes from UC Santa Cruz. We work with Dr. Christy Croker, who maybe some of you, some of the listeners know, has been coming up here for the last 10 years, working in kelp forests. We do these long-term surveys up here of kelp forest sites, and it's been a really special place for us to work. We've brought up a number of grad students, a bunch of undergrads. So it's a really wonderful place for us to get to work.
And if I remember correctly, before we came on the air, we chatted a little bit about the sort of the start of this long-term work, which really had to do with changes that you saw in your neck of the woods near UC Santa Cruz. So maybe you can talk a little bit about what you saw there, what Christy saw there, which led you all to come up here to work.
Yeah, I don't know if the timing necessarily worked out such that it's what those events were that spurred coming up here. I think this in itself is an interesting ecosystem. But another addition to why it's so important to monitor these kelp forests is because they're so dynamic and there's a lot of change that can happen. Sometimes the change is permanently skewed in a direction where there's less ecosystem services to humans, or it's a more degraded ecosystem. Sometimes there's change that's just really dynamic, and you have transitions between what is a healthy kelp forest and an urchin barren, which is when urchins eat up all of the kelp and sort of take over. So that is a natural part of this ecosystem, but sometimes you have it because of climate change or because of the loss of predators that you're sort of stuck in the urchin barren state. And this is something that happened in Northern California around 2014 to 2016, when there was a really big marine heat wave. And that sort of stuck this ecosystem in this urchin barren state, where instead of having a really lively, biodiverse ecosystem, you have this urchin barren that's just purple urchins in mats for as long as you can see. So wow. It's kind of scary when something like that happens, and it's really important to get a baseline of what a healthy ecosystem looks like, and what these transitions might look like too.
Great. We're going to talk more about predators because that's a lot of what you're here studying, yeah. Nikki. But before we get into that, I do want to talk just a little bit further about the long-term work that you all have been doing here in Sitka. You've been studying five kelp forests. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. So we have these long-term surveys that we do, and they're the same surveys that are conducted all the way from Baja up to Alaska. So, you know, globally, we're capturing, you know, how these kelp forests are changing year by year. But within Sitka, we have five sites that we go back to every year. And the surveys we're doing are identifying and counting algae. We are identifying and counting all the invertebrates. We used to look at fish, but there just aren't that many fish around in the kelp forest, so we don't do those surveys. And then we also have these little surveys where we put down a teeny tiny square and we count all the tiniest animals you can see.
So
down
small.
Down to 1 millimeter, you're staring at the ground for so long.
You're in your dive suits, you're breathing underwater.
Yep.
Okay. It's cold.
It's pretty cold. Yeah. Yeah. So these are surveys that we do every single year. And so of the five sites that we survey here, when we started, they were all kelp forests. And now we're seeing that actually four of them have transitioned into barrens. But I think it just goes to show the benefit of having a sort of like long term site, because if you just go in 1 year, you would assume that the snapshot is that there's only one healthy kelp forest. But by doing these surveys year after year and decade after decade, you can see the sort of like long-term fluctuations that are occurring in our ecosystem.
Okay, amazing. Well, I want to dive into a little bit of the work that each of you are doing specifically here in Sitka. Nikki, we talked about predators, and that actually is your focus. Can you tell us about your work here in Sitka?
Yeah, totally. I'm really interested in understanding how to restore a kelp forest and how to bring back a kelp forest in an area that's now an urchin barren. And one reason why these transitions happen is potentially because of climate change reasons, also because of the loss of predators. And one really important predator that we've lost all along the Pacific West Coast is called the sunflower star. Around the time of the marine heat wave, there was a sea star wasting disease that sort of wiped out populations of this sea star species. Really decimated these populations. So when they're once extremely abundant, now they're a federally listed threatened species. And following these losses, we also saw transitions from healthy kelp forests to urchin barrens. And it's sort of only when you lose something from a system do you realize how pronounced a role it might have once played. And so it's sort of drawn attention to the crucial role it might actually be playing in tying all these ecological interactions to maintain stability. So I'm researching how, generally, what their role is in these kelp forests to see if we can bring them back into areas that are degraded, but also just to understand what role they're playing in keeping these interactions stable. So at the Science Center in the wet lab, I have these really massive cattle tanks, and I'm running these experiments to look at how, when there is a sunflower sea star, whether it causes these behavioral shifts in sea urchins in terms of the amount of kelp that they're eating. So I'm wondering if, when there's a scary predator around, the urchins have a behavioral response to that, and instead of roaming around and eating kelp as they please, they might be hunkering down and saving their energy instead of eating kelp as they normally would. And these two behavioral states of urchins are sort of important to note, because I talked about these kelp forest states and these urchin barren states. When you have a healthy kelp forest, the urchins are sort of tucked away in these little cracks and crevices, and they just eat whatever kelp might drift down to them, and they really are kind of staying in place. But as they're eating up the kelp and they're getting hungrier and hungrier, and the kelp is also being lost because they're eating up so much of it, they might emerge from these cracks and crevices and start eating up the actual holdfasts, which are like the root structures of the plants themselves, and this is sort of how they might mow down an entire kelp forest, and then that turns into an urchin barren, where they have a different behavioral state of just roaming around and eating a lot more kelp. So I'm trying to understand how this behavior is mediated by having a predator present. And then also, sorry,
go ahead.
Importantly, this is happening in a warming ocean. And we know that ocean warming and temperatures can really affect some key biological reactions that happen in species. So I'm trying to see if under different temperature conditions, these species interactions will take on a different shape or form.
Yeah, there's lots to talk about. We could talk about this for way more than our small interview, because also this brings in the sea star wasting disease, and there's been big news about that, which I'm sure impacts your work.
Yeah, totally.
Everything is interconnected is kind of what we discover, which is a little bit of what the work you're doing, Haley. I want to draw you in to hear what you're up here doing in Sitka.
Yeah, so super broadly, my research ideas are driven to understand how the resources that people depend on from marine ecosystems are changing under climate change. Last summer, I was here to look at the effects of a warming ocean on needlefish or sand lance, which are an important forage fish species for seabirds, marine mammals, and a lot of fish species that we rely on. But this summer, I've sort of transitioned my focus to thinking about how the changes at the bottom of the food chain are sort of like cascading out. And so I am doing these seasonal kelp forest surveys of a bunch of different kelp sites across Sitka Sound. I'm looking at giant kelp forests, and then also bull kelp forests that are found all around the area, because those are the two predominant kelp species that we have here. And I'm doing super similar surveys to what we're doing in these other long-term sites, except I'm doing them seasonally. So I was up here in the winter, and I have about 12 sites across the area. And I am looking at the algae. I'm looking at the inverts. I'm also characterizing the topography of the bottom of the seafloor. And I'm repeating these surveys in the winter, spring, and summer to be able to understand how the resources within one type of kelp forest are changing across a given season, and also being able to compare across the two dominant kelp forests that we have out here.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, the one thing we haven't talked about is how this is the people are part of this as well and interconnected to the work that you're doing and to just living here by the ocean. We don't have time to really dive into all the nitty gritty about it, but we can talk about how people can get involved tonight. Kari, can you tell us about, or not tonight, tomorrow night?
Yeah. So the Science Center is hosting an event called Understory, which is a free event open to anybody who wants to swing by. This is a night of art, algae, and kelp forest research. So you can come by and find Haley and find Nikki and also other researchers from UC Santa Cruz and UC Berkeley who are going to be talking about their research. They'll be talking about scientific diving, and you can explore some of the tools that they use for that. We'll be doing algae pressing as an activity. And that is happening this Friday, August 15th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. It's a free program and it's a drop-in program. So you can come anytime during that period and talk to researchers, ask questions, share your connection to kelp. That is definitely a part of what these folks are interested in, and a part of what they are researching is that our community connection. And there's so much information and knowledge here in this place, whether that's traditional ecological knowledge, whether that is the knowledge of people who've just lived here for a long time and have a lot of perspective. So please come join us. The Science Center is a field station. We host researchers all the time, and we are so excited to have our community interact with these visiting researchers from UC Santa Cruz and Berkeley.
Thank you. Yeah, sounds like a lovely opportunity. And that was Kari Poston speaking right there. She's the Science Education Coordinator at the Sitka Sound Science Center. I've also been chatting with Haley Yang and Nikki Schreather, both researchers from UC Santa Cruz. Thank you three for being in this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.